Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tye.
Hope your Monday is going great here after a rough weather weekend, a rough Packers game, a rough Bucks game on Sunday night. Hey, new week ahead here, sunshine on the horizon. The Packers play the Bears on Saturday night. Make sure you've got your schedule according to a Saturday night game for the Packers and Bears.
Hopefully it's all up from here. The temps are going up. We'll take that.
We like it. 210 here on WTMJ.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, the lunch break is over. Day one of the federal trial for Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan resumes. A special agent with the FBI is back on the stand. This is the prosecution's first witness, and I now see the defense is now questioning this first witness. So far, the agent has testified an arrest was planned for Eduardo Flores Ruiz that day. The agent also said courthouse arrests are a good practice because people have already gone through security, so it's a controlled setting. Judge Dugan is accused of helping Flores Ruiz, who was in the country illegally, evade immigration agents at the Milwaukee County Courthouse in April. Dugan says she is innocent. She faces charges of obstruction and concealing an individual to prevent arrest. Numerous audio clips and videos of that day have been played so far. That happened during opening statements. They got right to it, showing the jury what each side feels the jury needs to see. Something interesting to note, the defense told the court Judge Dugan is nervous, that this is the most important week of her professional life. And indeed it is, as the entire country is watching what happens in Milwaukee with this case. One of the jurors out sick today on day one of testimony. That leaves only one alternate juror moving forward. The judge reminded the jury to stay healthy. Think about the judge saying, okay, everybody, remember, wash your hands with soap and water. Wash them for 20 seconds, maybe 30, maybe 40, because we need you guys. I mean, keep in mind, this is cold and flu season. The high-profile trial is expected to last 3 to 4 days. That's not a long time. But if one person gets sick, and then sometimes the others get sick, and that would not be good.
No, so they usually have a couple of alternates, and in this case they do. They've already tapped into one because one of the first initial jurors was out sick today, so they even thought about delaying the trial. But no, they are off and running. And we'll have coverage throughout the day here on WTMJ. Neil Doyle, primarily in the morning and afternoons. Elizabeth Lintonen will be out there later today with an update for Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Number two, shock in Hollywood over the murder of actor and filmmaker Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle. Police in Los Angeles being tight-lipped about the details, but do say they were found dead at their home in Brentwood. Police also say Nick Reiner, their son, is in custody on suspicion of murder. Sources also explaining to our news partners at ABC News that Reiner's daughter actually discovered her parents. More from ABC's Alex Stone.
We know from people in the neighborhood, they say that, you know, obviously Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle, that they were the light of this neighborhood, of this very high-end Brentwood neighborhood. But apparently Nick Reiner had been dealing with for many years. They even made a movie together, Nick and his father, about his addiction and his mental health battles over the years. Those who know them say that he had been really struggling with that recently.
Yeah, Nick Reiner, 32 years old, and he admitted to having addiction issues going back to the age of 15 years old. And multiple reports also indicate that Nick Reiner and his parents got into an argument at Conan O'Brien's Christmas party over the weekend, and that spilled into the events that may have happened over the weekend with the Reiners found dead inside their Brentwood home. So Nick is in custody. No formal charges just yet, but in custody on suspicion of murder. And this case will continue to develop throughout the day. We'll have updates for you. It's 2:14 on WTMJ. Well, the manhunt continues out east, where police are in search of the individual responsible for the deadly shooting at Brown University. It happened on Saturday afternoon about 4:05. Initially, there was a person of interest in police custody, and that person hailed from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. There was a Wisconsin connection. Ultimately, that person was released, and you're sort of back to square one.
So released and no charges.
Yes. No, a kind of a bizarre twist to the story here. We'll get more with ABC, CBS, crime and public safety reporter Anna Schechter, who joins us on the line right now. Hi, Anna.
Hello, good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I know there's some new information, but let's start with the person of interest, a Wisconsin native who was apprehended by police and brought into custody. Why was this man brought into custody and then ultimately released?
Well, this person, cell phone pings that the FBI was tracking led them to believe that this was the individual who carried out the attack because of movements that they tracked from, you know, pings on a satellite tower. And so they arrested him at 3:45 in the morning, roughly, at a local hotel. And after hours of questioning, they realized they had the wrong person. So that's hours of delay. You know, it takes the wind out of the sails of the investigative angles, the other angles they were pursuing. So they think they might have a couple of leads, but it is not a good situation now. 2 days later, they had to go back and review all of the video evidence. They probably had to go back and re-interview people. They did just release some new video of a person. It's kind of grainy. You see a person dressed all in black, but with a very quick gait. So that might be a little bit of a clue, especially for a family member. If you know your child's gait or something like that, that could help the public bring in a tip.
So we had this person of interest, as the person was being called, with connections to Cedarburg. That person has now been released. Now there is a new person of interest. That phrase, it's not an official legal term. Anna, can you explain to our fans what exactly a person of interest is?
A person of interest is someone that authorities want to speak to. It is not a suspect. A suspect has much more of a connotation of police really think that person did it and they have reason to believe, a good reason to believe that they carried out or were the perpetrator of a crime. So they're careful about, you know, person of interest is a rung below suspect in terms of, you know, where investigators think this individual is in terms of culpability. So the fact that the FBI released information about a person of interest in custody, that, you know, local police didn't like that very much. So things have sort of changed around. Police are now taking over, leading this investigation. The FBI is assisting. So it's a bit bit of a messy process on this particular case.
Anna, how are police working through combing through the details of the attack and who was killed and where they were targeted, or if it was random? What does the initial findings suggest?
This is what is so remarkable, is that they have no motive. Initially, they were using the working theory that this was a person carrying out a grudge against a teacher, a TA, or a student. And they just don't have much a couple of days later. And I think that's why they're putting out this new video. They don't, frankly, seem to have very good imagery. And I think that the university is going to review its own security policies and think about the quality of the surveillance cameras. You know, usually that is how police in this modern day solve cases. Technology is extremely helpful. It raises privacy concerns. However, it does help police solve crimes.
We're talking with Anna Schechter from CBS News about the mass shooting at Brown University. The suspect still on the run. Two students were killed. 9 people were hurt. Anna, what do you know so far about those who were killed?
Well, we know that one young woman, she was the president of the very small Republican club at Brown University. And another student was a young man who is from originally from Uzbekistan. He's an Uzbek-American student. And so we are starting to learn more about them. There's been an outpouring of support and vigils for their families and loved ones. It's an absolute tragedy. We're still waiting to learn more about the 9 people who were injured.
Yeah, we do understand that one was treated and released at a hospital, critical but stable condition are some others. So we'll get more information on those over time. But the manhunt continues. Just how widespread is the manhunt, Anna? Because you're talking about the East Coast, right? I mean, it take 45 minutes to get to three different states. Things move very quickly out there. Where are the efforts in searching for the individual responsible this concentrated?
Well, local police in Massachusetts and surrounding states are absolutely assisting. Everybody's on high alert. The thing is, if they had a vehicle or a license plate number, they could tap into automated license plate readers and cameras looking for a make and model of a car. But it doesn't appear to me that they have those investigative leads to go on. So this is a very, very challenging investigative environment. I don't think police actually know how far the suspect might have gotten away. Now, they are working a lead, but it's unclear if that is, in fact, the perpetrator.
And what's the mood in the community like, knowing that police don't, at this point, seem to have much?
Well, a lot of students have gone home. It's pretty quiet, and it's just really investigators going through trash. So I think people are frustrated and, you know, we're worried enough to try to leave the area if possible.
CBS's Anna Schechter joining us here in Wisconsin's Midday News. Appreciate the update, Anna. We'll check in again down the road.
Thanks, Anna.
Sounds good.
So Rhode Island authorities initially detained a guy named Benjamin Erickson for questioning as his person of interest. So he is the guy from Cedarburg, Wisconsin native. And boy, there always seems to be a Wisconsin connection to stories like this, but or any story for that matter. But he was never formally arrested or charged. So he's brought in for questioning. I was kind of confused how exactly they found him. But yes, as Anna outlined, the FBI received a tip that led them to locate Erickson at a hotel. He was just staying at a Hampton Inn in Rhode Island hours after the shooting occurred in the afternoon of Saturday, December 13th. Law enforcement found him. He does have a military background. They located him at a hotel. He was detained at a hotel. He was in possession of a revolver and a Glock handgun. And after conversations, police ultimately decided, nope, wrong guy. This isn't the guy, and let him go. And you can only imagine it from both standpoints, right? If you're Erickson, you're brought into this situation. Maybe you've heard about it. Wait a minute. You think I did this? Like, whoa, hang on a second here. And you have the conversation, you're let go. And then the police, now it's back to square one. And who knows how far they are along on this, but that is a tight concentration of states. Maneuverability is, you can be in one state, literally 10 minutes, be in another state out east. So it's going to be all hands on deck to try and find this individual.
Honestly, I hate to have that man's name even out there if he has absolutely nothing to do with this shooting. I know the Cedarburg School District released a statement over the weekend saying it was devastated to learn of the tragedy at Brown University. You know, in that time, the statement said allegedly involving a former Cedarburg student. But imagine being that person. If you have nothing to do with this, you're pulled in as a person of interest, and then your name is out there. Mm-mm, don't like it. You know what helps on a Monday? Coffee. You know what helps on a cold Monday?
Also coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah.
You know what helps on a cold Monday after a Packers loss?
I feel like I know where you're going with this, yeah.
Coffee. But do you really know what's in your coffee? Coffee shops right now have all their holiday drinks out, and they pack a lot of sugar. We love them, many of us, but they pack a lot of sugar. Do you want to know how much? I don't, but I do all at the same time.
And so do you look at calories as your indication of how much sugar is in it? It's a reasonable way to do it.
I don't look at calories. I've never really done that. Luckily, I haven't really needed to until maybe now. It's starting to feel a little bit. But I do think when I order one of these that there's a lot of sugar in there. You taste it and you know you probably should be drinking something healthier. So we've got healthy living expert Paul Fulfer. He is back with us on Midday to explain how much sugar is in these drinks and help us order a healthier version. Great to have you back, Paul.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, I think one of the things that might be in that coffee after a Packers loss is a little bit of Kahlua, too, to get the edge off, right?
Because
Well, I got to work a little bit late today. Well, not a little bit late, I guess, but I was feeling just a little bit behind. So I was like, I ain't going to get coffee. I'll make a coffee run. So I went and picked up Jessica's order, and Gina, our producer, who has aggressively drinks coffee. In fact, she has a sticker on her computer. And Jessica said, perfect, we've got Paul Fulford on today to talk about the kinds of things that are in our coffees. And sure enough, I'm looking at the menu at Starbucks, and it's like 500 calories to have a candy cane straw stuck in your eggnog latte. It's like, well, that seems like overdoing it. Mounds of whipped cream on top of that frappuccino. It's just what's offered, and they're delicious, but it was like a 500-calorie bomb.
That's so true. And Paul, let me ask you this. So I know you can't see this, even though we can see you right now, but I'm holding it up for all of those who are streaming. I got today, and I don't always do a big one like this, but as I said, it's a Monday, it's cold, and the Packers lost yesterday. So I got a venti iced brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso. I love this thing. But it's also a venti. And then Greg got a grande something yummy.
I just did cold brew. That's pretty basic. And I had a little
but it
cold
had the
foam.
The foam on it. So I'm just curious, how much sugar is in these things?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're ordering, you know. And again, like, I know talking with the producers prior to this, like, they were like, oh my gosh, you guys are going to, like, you guys love coffee. And I want to first say I'm not anti-coffee. I love coffee, but you know, when you're starting your day off with some of these that are like 50 to 70 grams of sugar in liquid form, it's basically, you know, hitting yourself with a sugar sledgehammer, right? It's not just also what's in the coffee as far as the sugar. It's what else is in there. You know, there's things that are in there with syrups and gums and preservatives. And when you see natural flavors, that's that marketing word that basically says we build a lab engineered flavor system from natural sounding materials and some helpers to make it stable and intense. So we're not going to tell you the full recipe, but basically it's a whole chemistry experiment in a festive cup, right?
So don't have fun this holiday season. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
No. I would say, like, look, there's, you know, I guess if we're going to give the listeners something that I would say as like kind of a rule to live by, is like, we can call it my Fulford Festive Five, if you will. You know, there's like five steps you could technically do, right? So I would say size down, right? If you want that grande, get a tall. If you want that venti, get a grande, right? Cut the pumps of syrup. Like, again, like, I'm just going to sit here and try to be practical and not tell you how I drink coffee, right? If it comes with four pumps, get two. You still get the flavor without, you know, minimizing the sugar. Lose the whip or light whip. You know, you don't need whipped cream on top of a mountain of sugar. And again, Wisconsin's dairy country, right? So it's hard to say cut out the milk, but I would say if you can, you know, go almond milk or skim maybe, you know, because even some of those other milks have preservatives in them. And then make it coffee forward. Like what you had this morning is like a cold brew or an Americano. And add one of those pumps of flavor just to give you the spirit, but not, you know, destroy your day by taking in all those calories and empty calories, so to speak, you know, on top of maybe eating breakfast alongside of it.
Okay, that was fantastic. You gave us tangible ways, things we can do starting tomorrow to change what we're ordering and to make our coffee healthier. I want to key in on one of those that you're talking about with the milk. How much does that make a difference as far as the milk? Are we talking about calories, fat, everything?
Both. Yeah, both. And again, some people are gluten-free, and the oat milk at Starbucks is actually gluten-free. So is the almond milk. But I'm also somebody that has my inflammatory foods dialed in, so I can't do almonds. And I try to minimize lactose. So I do. If I'm going to get a Starbucks coffee, I get the oat milk.
Good to know. All right, that's become your go-to, Jessica. That's become your go-to, the oat milk shaken espresso. Delicious.
It is. And I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, I think it helps my throat. I don't have that kind of feeling that I sometimes have with the other milk. Plus, I just love brown sugar. But, Paul, I love brown sugar. That's part of the problem.
Well, you know, and I also think this time of year, it's one of those things. We also find ourselves wanting to consume more because we're indoors more and you're not seeing the daylight as much when it's cold, right? And those those change our chemistry. Like, that changes our circadian rhythm. It changes our hormones. So you do want to consume more, and you do crave sugar and carbs because of that.
Interesting stuff. I'm fast. Now, this is that time of year, though, right? I mean, all this stuff pops up. You go to any holiday celebration. I go upstairs here, right? There's just like 3 dozen cupcakes just sitting on the in the counter, right? There's breads and cookies and holiday celebrations and chocolates. It's hard to avoid, and that's a microcosm of the time.
And it's just fun, too. It's the marketing behind it. Oh, okay, we've got the holiday drinks out now. You got the caramel brulee latte or the peppermint hot chocolate, things like that. I know it depends on what exactly you're ordering, but is there something you could compare it to? Like, say you are getting a grande caramel brulee latte. Does that have as much sugar as a candy bar, or is there something tangible where you could just that when we go to order it next time, if we want to cut back, we can think about that. You can get this coffee, yeah, or you could eat this, and it'd be the same.
So if you think about it in context, right, the classics, the peppermint mocha, the caramel brulee latte, the eggnog latte, those are about 50 grams in sugar alone, right? A regular size Snickers bar is 27 grams of sugar. So that's basically, and that's a grande size, right? Like, it venti's even more, right? So you're eating two Snickers bars in your coffee with a grande when you're doing those, right? It is festive. It is that time of year, but it's just something to think about. And I think another thing people forget is staying hydrated also can help you feel fuller longer, right? And taking in more amounts of quality protein can also help you feel fuller. So when those cravings hit out of, you know, boredom, or just because we're indoors, less sunlight, it's cold out, you're full and you're not craving those sugars and those carbs.
Okay, I got to take a vote here. Greg, now knowing what you know, thanks to Paul, having more information. I mean, we knew these weren't good for us, but to have more information like this, will you change any of your ways?
So I kind of have a rule when I, and the calorie thing makes sense to me. Like, I look at that. So I try and limit my coffee purchases, whatever I'm going to drink, to 150 calories or less. So it keeps me out of the add-ons, the additional pumps of whatever, a lot of lattes. I don't love 2% milk. Milk and I don't have the best relationship. So I try to go cold brew, a little bit of cream, and I'm good. It's maybe 100 calories, and it's fine. So I don't feel like I'm overdoing it. I govern myself as the best I can.
And the person who loves coffee more than any of us, our grand producer, I should say our grande, but that's different. That's about size. And she's tiny. She's a little pint, right? She's with a big personality here. Gina, you love coffee so much. Will this change any of your habits?
I want to say yes, but no.
So here's the thing. I think this won't change all of my habits, but there are some days when maybe I don't need it, that I'm going to think about what Paul has to say and make a healthier choice, or decide not going to do it today.
It's tough this holiday season.
I would say things, again, you know, the Bible says anything in moderation is okay, right? I mean, but I would say if you're not doing it every day, again, there's something to be said for the mental aspect of rewarding yourself and the joy, right? So
yes,
if it's something that you do occasionally, it's not going to kill you. You just have to log it and track it, right? And the thing that you all mentioned, that, you know, keeping it at a certain caloric intake, Starbucks does at least a decent job at showing you what the calories are if you look at the app for the drinks, right? So you can kind of say, okay, as long as I order it this way and I subtract from it, it's going to be that or less calories.
Thank you so much. You really clued us in. Now I got to finish my sip and not order one
that,
tomorrow.
That's how you'll govern yourself this holiday season.
Paul Fulford, healthy living expert. Thanks for joining us again on Midday.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Okay, Greg, here I go.
Yeah, no, you did the full one. You did the venti thing. Oh, it's exciting. We're going to have Paul on. It's all for market research. I'll expense it.
I also have my healthier tea, though. I just have a peppermint tea that I have from home, and so balance. Kinda.
Sure. Yeah. No, we'll go with that. 2:51, we'll call it here on WTMJ. We'll wrap up the program with some final thoughts after this.
Researchers at the Mayo Clinic are testing some new technology aimed at notifying parents that their kids maybe about to throw a temper tantrum, ABC's Mike Dubusky explains.
A new smartwatch-based tantrum detection system is able to notify parents within about 4 seconds if their child is about to experience a severe emotional outburst. That early intervention cut the average length of a tantrum in half, according to researchers. The smartwatch monitors things like movement, heart rate, and sleep.
How great is that?
Tantrum
Your
monitor?
Child is about to have a tantrum, and it cuts the tantrum in half.
Oh, there we go. The heart rate starts to go up. Okay, your kid's getting upset. Got to calm it down a little bit.
Early intervention. That's key. I like it.
That is key. Always good stuff from Mike Dubusky. We'll check in with him tomorrow, by the way, for Tech Tuesday. 2:56, Wisconsin's Afternoon News is coming up next. Hey, Mercure's back.